Good evening, everyone, and welcome into the Chicago Bears Network Studios at Hallis Hall. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. We were going to the bullpen tonight. Tommy Thayer didn't want the ginger hair genius anymore, so I'm Chris Bowden filling in this week for Zach Zaidman, who thought a college basketball game was a little bit more important than doing this.
Yeah, but you let me down. You're too dressed up. You know, we dress like linemen. You dress like an executive.
Does Zach dress like a lineman too?
No, he's a Syracuse guy, so you know it's all about his appearance on radio.
In case we don't know the voice of that man, it is the 85 Super Bowl champion winning Bear and the former Golden Domer and the former Hilltopper from Joliet Catholic from WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Let's hear it for Tom Thayer, everybody.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. And we promise be joined. You know, it's been kind of a difficult year, but one of the bright spots really so far this season, Tom, has been the new acquisition from the Detroit Lions via free agency. He leads the team with 8.5 sacks. That's good on the field. He's good with us in the media, in the locker room, too. I know you'll enjoy him, too. That is Bears defensive end Willie Young, who right now is being interviewed by a 5-year-old outside as part of a contest on ChicagoBears.com. We're being held up by a 5-year-old. But once Willie comes in, we'll give him a nice round of applause. It should be any moment here. And for our radio audience, you can probably hear the audience here tonight. And it's a group of schools involved in the Fuel Up to Play 60 program. Fuel Up to Play 60 is the nation's largest in-school wellness program in over 73,000 K-12 schools. Fuel Up to Play 60 is brought to you by the Midwest Dairy Council and the Chicago Bears. So give yourself a round of applause for joining us here tonight. Glad to have you here at our Hallis Hall Network studio. So as we wait for Willie to come in here, Tom, this team 5-8 going into the home stretch. They now they're officially eliminated. But I get the sense in walking through that locker room, and I don't know what your sense is around this building, there's still a very good energy level, a fairly good positive outlook on things. And that's going to be needed here starting Monday night against New Orleans.
Yeah, you know, I've lived through a couple of these scenarios where I'm playing the back end of a losing season.
I was going to ask you, have you ever, during your Bears career, I don't remember that.
I have twice. And, you know, the one thing about it is you kind of play with a sense of fear because you respect your job so much that you want to obtain it, you want to sustain it, you want to keep your job, you want to do everything you can in this atmosphere to be a positive influence in the locker room and play well. And it's hard to play well on a team that's playing bad because it seems like your opponent always has the advantage. Mm-hmm. And so when you see the results of a guy like Willie Young that comes in and the Bears are having a down year, but he's having his best year, you know, those are the things that you have to search in the future for. But you have to treat these three games as serious as any game in your career. And there's a long list of young guys on this team. And I made a couple lists. And one of them, there's a lengthy list of young contributors that they have to play just like if they're getting ready for the NFC Championship game next week.
And the list got longer today with news that DJ Williams, the middle linebacker, was placed on injured reserve. So now this week, and we'll talk to Willie about this a little bit more, that defense is going up against here he is right now, Willie Young, everybody. There's Willie Young, fresh from his interview with a 5-year-old, which will probably go better than this one we'll hear tonight. But as you slip your headphones out, Willie, thanks for joining us here over the next hour. You know, we were talking, Tom and I, before you stepped in here about 5-8. I'm sure not what you envisioned, and it has to be a disappointment. But when we talked to you earlier this week on Monday, and I know some media talked to you again, you know, there's still an energy and a resiliency in the locker room. I think your energy is fairly prominent. And how important is that going to be here these final 3 weeks?
Absolutely. The energy is there. You know, we know what has to be done. You know, and for us to go 3-0 these last three games of the season will be crucial for us. It'll obviously set us up for next year. You know, playing against a top-notch quarterback will say a lot about, you know, what we can accomplish.
Yeah, let's get into your season, though. Heading into this year, 6 career sacks in 4 years against Detroit. I remember talking to you in training camp, and, like, you know, you were like one of the top 3, I think, PFF ruled in quarterback pressures last year, but you only wound up with 3 sacks. But 8.5 sacks so far this year to lead this Bears team. How do you explain the jump in numbers this year?
You know, Joe Kim, pass rushing specialist, he's had a lot of guys around the league, and he's been there, I mean, since day one, since I showed up in offseason workouts. He had us for maybe a month or two. It was when I started working on some of the techniques and stuff that he had to offer, it was almost like, are you serious, dude? Like, when am I supposed to use this? Like, I don't have time to do all of this.
And for our audience here, film a little bit about his background and the correlation between his specialty and what you guys do.
Joe Kim, his background has nothing to do with but Taekwondo type of stuff, like a lot of hand drills and all this other stuff. And growing up, I mean, well, my early years in the career, you know, I hear guys from different organizations come in and they're talking about, you know, taking all these karate classes and boxing classes to work on their hand and eye coordination, making sure their hands and feet working together. And I'm like, no, I don't need all that. I'm an athlete. I don't need that. And I guess I can see a big difference now coming from, you know, from my first 4 years in Detroit and being here. The only difference was I had Joe Kim, and Joe Kim has been working with me closely with some other guys, just on hands and knock stuff, and you know, hands and feet working together. And obviously, right now I'm sitting at 8.5 sacks. Probably should be 10 right now. I got robbed about 2 weeks ago and split one last week. So it's been a crazy ride, but it's been fun too. At the same time, being able to learn new stuff, and especially in particular about myself and better myself as an athlete.
But, you know, all right, just thinking about your background, your 213th pick, 7th round, you're coming out of college, you're ranked the 18th defensive end out of 182 coming out. How did you get through your early Detroit years? Were you teaching yourself? Was it something that you were paying attention to? Or was there somebody specifically that got Willie Young to a free agent opportunity?
A lot of it came from me teaching myself. And because a 7th-round draft pick, you know, guys, you don't have any hope, you know. Yeah. If you don't have hope for yourself, then no one else does. And I had to fight from day one. Still to this day, I'm fighting. And being able to work from the bottom up, you know, you appreciate things a lot more. You take things a lot more serious. You take a lot more ownership into what you do. And I was around some guys like Kyle Van Der Bosch. And Van Der Bosch had a motor like you've never seen before. This guy here, I mean, he's full speed from the first day of practice through camp all the way through the last play of the season. And it was impressive to me to see this guy. He might have been about 34 years old. He was the same age as our defensive line coach at the time. So I'm like, man, this guy can't be faster than me. He can't, you know, he can't outrun me. He can't outwork me. But every day in the weight room, I could never keep up with him. On game days, it was just impressive to see him work. And he was a guy that I took that from. I took from him that motor that he had, and I've been able to carry it over. It's tough, but I've been able to kind of keep that thing going a little bit. So,
all right, we need to take a break. And when we return, we're going to delve a little deeper back into Willie's past, ask about his time between high school and college. Some interesting stories there. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority from the Chicago Bears Network Studios at Halas Hall on 670 The Score. This segment of Bears All Access is brought to you by Subway. Stop by your local Subway restaurant today and try a flavor-packed double meat sub from the Bears lineup. Limited time only. Subway, eat fresh. And we are back live in our Chicago Bears Network studios in front of a student audience from schools participating in the Fuel Up to Play 60 program, brought to you by the Midwest Dairy Council. Folks, thanks for coming out and joining us. We appreciate your company here. Good crowd here. Before we proceed, Chris Bowden, Tom Thayer, and Bears defensive end Willie Young, time for our Player of the Week segment. And as we decide that, brought to you by Sports Authority, all things sporting good. Looking back on the Cowboys game, as much as the result isn't what you wanted it to be, a couple performances seem to stand out. Alshon Jeffrey had the 6 catches for 95 yards and a touchdown. Martellus, 12 catches for 84 yards and a TD. You guys got any other candidates you want to pop in there?
I was thinking about Willie getting a sack on 3rd-and-2, but then it was DeMarco Murray blocking him, so he should have got his sack. No.
Chops. You come down here and he's busting your chops.
He knows I'm having fun, because it seems like you give it to Willie or Matt Forte each week. But to me, Martellus has been a big inspiration, trying to, you know, take the physical game to the next level for him.
How about you?
Yeah,
Martellus?
Yeah, I'm a Martellus fan right now. Yeah. You know, you don't see those catches, but they add up.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the end of the game, you see the numbers he had. Obviously, you can dictate, you know, the impact that he had on the game. So,
yeah.
From the week before, it's just the emotion that goes into it, because you played Detroit the week before, and then also now he's playing Dallas, who kind of got rid of Martellus in not a disrespectful way, but they didn't want him there anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm familiar with that situation.
The chip underneath the shoulder pads is evident right there.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you grew up in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, or went to Palm Beach Garden High School. Really a hotbed of talent down there. I know Greg was telling me earlier, Devin Hester come from those parts and everything. Then, before you went to NC State, you were diverted to a place called Hargrave Military Academy. What led you there, and what was that? What was that trip like? What were the first few days there like?
You know, as soon as I graduated from high school, this is probably the turning point of my career. This is real. This is a true story. I got that next day after graduation. I walked out the house, walked to the end of the driveway, and I had no plans. And I get to why I ended up going to Hargrave. Didn't have a plan at this time. And I literally looked down the street to my left. I looked to the right. To the right was an immediate curve. To the left was a straight shot almost. Uh-huh. I never moved. And I got a phone call from my college coach, Doc Holliday. He's a head coach over at, I think, Akron or Marshall somewhere right now. And he was like, he said, "Will, you got to ride to, Hargrave Military Academy." I said, "Where is that?" I said, "What is that?" I knew it wasn't a Division I school, which I had been offered. I had been offered by North Carolina State University, and he was just like, "Yeah, it's a prep school in Chatham, Virginia." I was like, "Well, okay. I don't have a ride, but I can ask my dad." Don't ask me how my dad made it happen, but he made it happen, and. Still to this day, I can't even express, you know, the way I feel just to have my dad and to figure out whatever he figured out to make happen. I went to Hargrave because I never got my test scores. I couldn't pass the SAT, and I didn't have a high enough ACT score. So Hargrave was the next step to, like, basically, it was like it's a prep school, so you still have to take classes. You're kind of like a fifth year senior, you know, another 12th grade in high school. And it was all about SAT, ACT, whichever you chose. Preferably, this time it was the SAT because of the grading scale or whatnot, depending on your GPA. My GPA was like a 2.67, so my GPA wasn't too bad. It was just the SAT score, which wasn't adding up. Well, long story short, I went to Hargrave because I couldn't get my SAT scores. And after my first test at Hargrave, I passed it. I got the score that I needed, so I kind of got in trouble at that point. I kind of got kicked out of Hargrave. I never told nobody that.
Uh-oh. Breaking news.
It was just like I would mess with one of the younger guys because it was still high school kids at that school. The school had no girls. It was all guys. Every time you got in trouble, you had to, like, walk the bull ring.
Yeah, what's
and
that?
The bull ring is where you wear, like, these hard bottom shoes all day, every day. And you have to walk a 12x12 square in a single file line for, like, hours if you were to, you know, miss class, wake
that's
up late.
That's not fun. That's,
if you didn't have your bed made up, no way. And it was amazing. And I really thought that I was taught some discipline at that time because still to this day, I make up my bed every morning before I leave. And, like,
you bounce a quarter off that puppy?
Yes, I do.
Nice.
Every time.
Could you have survived if you didn't go there?
I don't know, because I think the transition from high school to Division I, which that stepping stone in the middle where Hargrave was at, was crucial for me because everyone was good at Hargrave. I mean, I went there with Jared Gaithers, Brandon Albert, Andre Brown. All these guys are playing in the NFL right now. Right. I mean, it's all kind of guys came out of Hargrave Military Academy. And I was able to transition, I think, with a lot of guys that was very athletic, fast, quick. They can do the same thing that I could do. And we were basically all there for, like, the same reason kind of. So I was able to get a different speed. I was able to get the speed from high school to that prep school as opposed to going straight from high school to Division I program. So I really adjusted to that speed, and I've never seen offensive tackles as big as Jared Gaithers and Brandon Albert. If you don't know those guys are like 6'7", 6'8". Like, I think Jared Gaithers, he's like 6'9", like 325 or something like that. These guys are huge, but I had to overcome, like, actually seeing guys that was bigger than I was and, you know, stronger than I was. It was just like, wow, you know. And I think I was able to transition from Hargrave to North Carolina State University my first year and, like, not really feel a difference in change and not feel, like, pressured by seeing bigger guys and all this kind of stuff. And I had I feel like I had already overcome that obstacle that I needed to. So the transition was pretty cool.
Well, Eagle Ferguson and Jeremiah Ratliff, your two teammates now, I guess, went there as well a little bit earlier.
Yep.
What was
sure did.
You had to give up a little bit of your style once you got there, right?
Oh, yeah. why you go right there?
Did you have the same hair back in high school?
I was going to leave that alone, man. You had to go there, yo. So as soon as me and my dad pull up in this rental car, we pull up to the Hargrave Military Academy. And it's like these guys are just standing on the front doorstep waiting on us to show up. And we pull up, I get out. And the first thing, Coach Prunty, the coach for the football team there, he's like, he just covered his face kind of like this. And I was like, what's up? Like, you know, what's going on? Oh, man. Then my commandant, he just started kind of laughing, you know. Sergeant Major Payne is his name. That's his
Major
real name.
Major Payne.
Yeah. And and it was self-explanatory. Right. So I walk up steps, and he's like, son, you know that hair got to go, right? I said, huh? I said, no. I looked at my dad. I said, man, I'm not going. We can leave. We can go. I walked back to the car, and I kind of almost had tears in my eyes because I could just think about me having to cut my hair. And my dad walked back to the car with me. He was just like, you know what? In order to get where you want to go, sometimes, son, you got to make sacrifices. And that was the first sacrifice I had to make. And that was cutting my hair.
And you
hair.
Kept that in the bag for a while, right?
I did. And I told the guys, I told them it was against my religion. I honestly told them I was a Muslim, and it didn't work because I was at a private school. So my hair, I still lost my hair that next. He said, son, I'll let you keep it for the night, but first thing in the morning, you come down to I forgot what they called it, the barbershop. They called it something else, I think. Yeah. But first thing that morning, I slept long as I could. I slept long as I could because I didn't want to go down. And once I got up, yank.
Different look.
Yeah, absolutely.
If it makes you feel any better, Notre Dame had Tom do the same thing to his hair,
man.
Too.
Man.
Right?
Oh,
well. He's still waiting for it to grow back.
Good thing you didn't do it.
You leave the head on. Don't take the head off.
We need to take a break here again. And when we come back, we will go on. We have a couple of guys who love water here for different reasons. And we will go to the origin of Willie's sack celebration.
I want to hear about you taunting Tom Brady early in your career and why.
Ooh, that too. Yeah. Somewhere along these.
That one cost me.
This next hour. Is the first love fishing or football? This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority from the Chicago Bears Network Studios at Halas Hall on 670 The Score. This segment of Bears All Access is brought to you by H.H. Gregg Appliances, Electronics, Furniture. And we are live back at our Chicago Bears Network studios in front of our student audience from schools participating in the Fuel Up to Play 60 program, brought to you by the Midwest Dairy Council. Give yourself a hand here for joining us here tonight. Appreciate it. And I want to give some special recognition to Griffin Zweibeck from Edgewood Middle School in Highland Park. Griffin is a Fuel Up to Play 60 state ambassador, and he is in our audience tonight. Where is Griffin? Griffin, stand up. Stand up. Get some love. This is good radio, too. Back here with Tom Thayer and Bears defensive end Willie Young. I'm Chris Bowden filling in for Zach Zabeman tonight. So, Willie, how did this love of fishing begin? What age? Was it love at first hook, line, and sinker, or was it an acquired taste? Sorry, see what I did there?
Hook, line, and sinker. You know, you just can't ask me a question I can give you a short and sweet answer to, man, because fishing, I started.
We got an hour.
I started this thing. I started way back before I could remember. My dad had me out fishing before I knew it. I think the first time, maybe the first or second time my dad got me out on that water, we ended up taking a picture we were holding bluegills. We both held both of the fish by their heads and our mouth, and we took a picture next to each other. And I don't know what I was thinking when I did it at the time. I didn't know what I was getting into, but maybe the taste of that slime from his eyeballs rolling on the tip of my tongue.
That's a football
maybe
player.
Maybe that has something to do with it. And ever since then, I've been addicted to it. So,
yeah. And if you're ever out near Hawaii, maybe you'll get a big fish. Tom's a big surfer here, so maybe I'll reel him in.
Trying to fish in the ocean offshore, I have nothing but my bait taken or my lure gets stuck on a reef. It's a harder thing to do than fishing here in rivers or nice lakes and stuff. But I got this question, because your sack dance involves your catching of imitating the catches. A Detroit defensive lineman imitated your sack dance after a tackle he made. Why did he do it, and do you know him well enough to let him do it again?
Absolutely. Andre Fluellen. Okay. And he's bounced around between here and between Detroit and Chicago for about a year and a half, but he's back in Detroit now, obviously. Andre Fluellen, when I came in as a rookie, I mean, I was, you know, just hanging on by a thread. And me being the kind of guy that I was, I kind of connect with people easily. I'm like a people's person kind of almost. And Andre Fewellen was the veteran that took me in instantly. I mean, I was living with Flew. We would hang out together. He introduced me to the city, got me around, got me familiar with things, kind of taught me the ins and outs, do's and don'ts. You know, if anybody had done that dance other than him, it was a problem. Yeah. But because it was Andre Fewellen, I mean, much respect. Like I said, I was eating his snacks up. I was eating his food up. I was wearing his clothes. I mean, this is real talk. My first and second year. I had the key to his apartment. I ended up having to take his dog out. His dog was named Biscuit, big old pit bull, like this big, shoulders like this wide. I took him out one day, and he listens to you really well in the house. This is fun. Never told him about this story. I never told Flew this story.
Exclusive.
Very. I took his dog out, took him downstairs for a walk. And it's not like a walk in the park like I'm used to in Florida. You know, you go outside, walk through the grass. No, it's downtown Detroit, you know. So you walking on cement, you know, you behind the news reporter business and office and all that stuff and down the sidewalk. So your dog go take care of his business. I got him on the leash. And then I feel like I can trust him, right? So I take him off the leash. Oh, man, as soon as he heard the little click, he was gone. And he, man, luckily, I don't know how I caught him because he was like, you know, you take a dog off the leash and he'd been on all day and he just take off. He just doing sprints from corner to corner of the yard. That's what he did. But he was in the middle of the street, cars coming. I almost lost my mind. But I was able to catch him. And, you know, but that's why it wasn't a problem with Andre Fewellen.
What are you get Andre on the phone next week leading up to the Detroit game and get his reaction?
Oh, man. Hey,
do you know the first defensive end drafted your year?
Defensive end.
Yeah, the first. Because it's kind of interesting to watch a guy that has success in his career. You see the guy that was drafted first and some of the guys that were drafted right after him. I don't even know their names.
Yeah.
But Jason Pierre-Paul was the number one, the first defensive end drafted your year.
Yeah.
And I was just curious if you go back because you've been able to achieve success and then now have success in your, not your second go-around, but your next team.
Yeah, yeah. It's like I said, it's been a long road for me. It's been a long road. I mean, some of it is luck. Some of it is just being blessed. And to this day, I'm very thankful for what I've been able to accomplish. I'm thankful for the people that I've had around me. Andre Fewellen, for instance, you know, maybe without him, I wouldn't be sitting here right now today. So
how many different potential celebrations – different types of potential celebrations are there? How many different reel-ins do we have? Is it done by impulse too?
A lot of them was done just by, I had to make a. They're never thought out. I have had requests this last past week, and
everybody send in your requests for Monday night against the Saints.
Oh man, right? I've had so many requests. There was one that I did when it was brought up. I thought about it. I had just thought about it maybe a day or two before. And so I got two of them I know I haven't done yet. I've been working on some stuff with Bass Pro Shops right now, and those guys have been giving me a...
Sounds like a sponsorship. Yeah,
absolutely. Those guys, I mean, I tell you what, those guys have been like, I don't know, just crazy right now.
So how do offensive linemen feel about those types of celebrations after...
Not good. You know, it was funny because my offensive line coach, Coach Stanfeld, used to say, you know, every time we successfully protect the passer and he gets a completion off, we should all get in the middle and high-five each other because the way the defensive line go about the celebration. But, you know, that's what I always think. It's something you develop as a young kid because if kids that play Pop Warner football and they play that position, they talk about, man, when I get on Monday Night Football, I am going to do this as my dance. And, you know, and I have nephews that go through the same thing. And so, you know, it's just you have your own job to worry about.
All right, I got news for you, Willie. About a month or so ago, I had Clint Hurt down here. We do an interview with an assistant coach every week on our shows on Comcast Sportsnet. And I was asking Willie or asking Clint about your celebration and your love. And he said,
I got to tell you something.
Don't you start. Don't
Willie,
go there.
Willie
don't go
is
there.
Just an electronic fisherman. Have you heard that from him?
Oh, it's a low blow. Come on, man.
I'm just telling you what he said.
Are you talking about the gauges inside the boat? Just dropping on a big school?
So you're asking me about this electronic deal?
Is that true? Is that a true accusation? Is there any truth to that?
Okay.
Do you bait your own hook?
Yes, I bait my own hook. But there is a little bit of electronic
Gadgetry
okay. that right. comes along. I have a electric reel that is typically used for deep drop, where you can actually put like maybe 5 or 6 hooks on one line with maybe a 10-pound lead on the bottom, depending on how deep you want to go. You bait each hook with like some squid or something. Typically, you want to use squid, something tough, because, you know, 300 feet is a long way down. And by the time it gets down, if it's something just like a piece of fish or something, that can easily just come off with the 10-pound weight pulling, torque, and you got current and everything pulling, it can easily be gone. So you use something tough like squid, calamari, you guys might know that. So you put that stuff on, you can go to the bottom without a problem, and you can pull up maybe 4 or 5 fish at a time. Well, I have the intent from when I bought this LP, it's called an LP, it's an electric reel. When I bought this reel, it was for the intent to go swordfish fishing. And that's what I've done with it. Now, I've only hooked into one swordfish, never landed him, because it's a bit of a challenge if you guys know anything about swordfish fishing. You go to the bottom, and it's so far down, a swordfish can be maybe, you know, 400 or 500 pounds, but when you actually get a bite, the tip only does this. It's just barely moving. I was told somebody this story today. I mean, it's just barely. I mean, you literally got to be there, like, focus on this tip, because it can happen at any moment. It's very subtle, because sword fishing, you have to go at least, you know, 1,200 feet. Now, we're not talking about 300 now, but that was just as an example. But sword fishing, you got to go 1,200 to 1,500 feet, and that's extremely deep. And that's where the electric reel came in.
We'll let you slide.
Now, Hurt came in in the middle of this conversation and heard me talking about using an electric reel. So that's how he came off with this other nonsense, foolishness, I'm going to call
He's
it.
He's Mr. Neanderthal fisherman.
Oh, man.
All right, we'll try and put a microphone in the defensive line meeting room tomorrow to see how that conversation goes.
How would that sack dance go?
No, it actually it's just like, oh, got a bite. Doop.
Watch Bears Game Night Live, brought to you by CDW, Sundays at 10:35 p.m. on Fox Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears Network. Time for another break. When we come back with Willie, we started tipping this iceberg. We're going to go back to a division rival that he used to play for, some ex-teammates. Talk about his ex-head coach maybe a little bit. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority from the Chicago Bears Network Studios at Halsall on 670 The Score. Welcome back to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, live from the Chicago Bears Network Studios in front of our student audience from schools participating in the Fuel Up to Play 60 program, brought to you by the Midwest Dairy Council. The Bears also thank Giordano's Famous Stuff Pizza for providing dinner. Stop by one of their 44 Chicagoland locations for Chicago's favorite stuff pizza, or visit Giordano's.com to order now. Along with Bears defensive end Will Young and Tom Thayer, I'm Chris Bowden, filling in for Zach Zaidman this week. So Tom mentioned earlier in the show, Willie, you entered the league in 2010, a seventh-round draft pick. You've made the long climb up to the status that you enjoy today. Same draft, Detroit picked second overall in Ndamukong Suh. Can some of your personality maybe rub off on Mr. Suh? How did his personality and how did his game evolve over the 4 years you were with him there?
He doesn't come off as a very friendly guy, should I say. You know, we did have a brief conversation once that, you know, he's just never really been like a vocal guy. But I mean, I got to say that he's nothing but a professional. Like he's always in early. He always gets his workout in early. He's always on top of the film. I mean, everything that you ask for in a professional athlete, I mean, he's all about that. And it's nothing more, nothing less. There has been some instances where he's involved in some stuff he shouldn't have been involved in on the field. But at the same time, you know, with all that being said, I don't think there's one guy in this league, one defensive lineman, one defensive end that would not like to have Ndamukong Suh playing next to him, because he's such a force. He creates one-on-ones for, you know, a lot of people, because he demands a lot of attention, you know, down after down. So,
and it's too bad.
It's going to be interesting this offseason, because he's a free agent.
He's a really well-spoken guy.
Absolutely.
When he is interviewed, he's intelligent. He is well-thinking. And it's too bad because, well, I mean, he's a great player, and I'm impressed with him. But, you know, playing defensive line, you come over here, and you consider defensive line a rotation position, and you get your reps. But now you're a starter. Are you ever going to consider yourself not coming out for the first play of the game again on defense? So you're a full. I know in your mind now you're a full time starter, and you're going to be the first guy on the field.
So what you mean exactly? Like, will I?
You're not part of the rotation means that you're going to be the first part of the first four on the field.
Okay.
You know, because when Willie Young came to the Bears, sorry to speak to you like that. When you came to the Bears, are you going to be a part of it? And what part of it are you going to be? Now you became a part of it, but you're a starter part of it,
mm-hmm.
not a guy that's going to come in and fulfill your snaps on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, it's been. It's been a different approach. No, I take that back. It's been the same approach for me.
Okay.
You know, as far as preparation and whatnot and understanding the game plan, knowing what it's going to take to have a productive game and give our team the best opportunity to win the game. You know, but being a starter now, it's like, you know, a little bit more mental is involved. But, I mean – other than that, it's the same. I mean, I'm a team player kind of guy. So when I get tired, I'm definitely gonna come out. I'm not gonna be out there sucking wind and can't breathe at the same time. No, I mean, David Bass has been my backup for the last couple of weeks or so, and he's come in and done a heck of a job.
But you know, you play against a guy that's fresh on fresh, or else you come in and you play against a guy that you're fresh, and he may be winded after a drive or in the midst of a drive. Do you like the fact that you get to set him up from play one?
Oh yeah, getting in a rhythm versus an opponent is man, that's you can't ask for more than that. You know, understanding how a guy's setting you, understanding if he's, you know, his tendencies, knowing his tendencies. But a lot of that come into play in the meeting rooms throughout the week. You know, we don't just show up on Sunday and it just happens that way. A guy like Ndamukong Suh probably can get away with that.
Yeah.
But, you know, most
Ndamukong Suh, Reggie White, a few yeah, those that have ever come along.
Select few. But, yeah, you know, preparation is key.
What was it like playing for Jim Schwartz?
Fiery guy, man. He was everything that you saw in that little Harbaugh thing when they got into it.
About that.
Harbaugh would have whooped him.
I know, man. Oh, I know.
He's lucky that little PR guy jumped in between him because Jim would have took it. Would have been ugly.
He's real fiery, man. A good way to. I know. I loved him. You know what I'm saying? His style of defense, the approach that he took. He allowed his guys to play ball. You know, fly around, make plays, wreak havoc. You know. With the style of defense we played, we created so many personal fouls because we attacked. We was always getting upfield, and the way you got the guy sometime, you might have been on your elbows. So, you know, you could easily hit a quarterback below the belt and get a 15-yarder, but we were just flying around and hitting guys on the run.
Speaking of personal fouls.
Oh, I talked that up.
Yeah, Thanksgiving you had that sack taken away when you hit your old buddy Stafford. And I think a lot of us could see on the replay, it's kind of a reach to for the guy in stripes to throw that flag. And, you know, you bring up the point that, yeah, maybe this should be a reviewable play.
Absolutely.
I think it should be because they have the same instance in college where they have, if they're going to throw a guy out because of the legally hit, they can go and review it. And if they overrule it, then he's not thrown out. I think that's a perfect instance of the possibility of a replay.
What were you saying to the ref that day? What you can say here?
I didn't even waste. I honestly kept my cool this time because, you know, plays like that can dictate the outcome of the game. I mean, they were that sack basically would have probably forced them to either have to run three plays, a deep ball to Calvin in the corner, which we would have known was going to come, or a screen or a draw. But with them being able to get that personal foul on top of it, to give them first down and goal on maybe the five or something. I don't know where it was at.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a crucial turning point in the game. You know, with the way games go nowadays, it's hard to tell.
Yeah, I think you guys are only down 7 at that point
yeah.
in the game. It's yeah. been that kind of year, unfortunately. Yeah. Time for another break here on Bears All Access. When we come back, we'll discuss the next opponent a little bit and the next quarterback that Willie will try and get on the ground. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority from the Chicago Bears Network Studios at Halas Hall on 670 The Score. Welcome back to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, live from the Chicago Bears Network Studios in front of our student audience from Fuel Up to Play 60, co-founded by the NFL and America's Dairy Farmers. Fuel Up to Play 60 helps millions of students in our nation's schools eat better and get active. We thank all of them for joining us here in our Chicago Bears Network Studios. Bears defensive end Willie Young and Super Bowl winner Tom Thayer, Chris Bowden here, joining you on Bears All Access. So coming up this Monday night, it's Drew Brees
and the New Orleans Saints. You know, by comparison, Willie and Tom, you know, you look at the Bradys and the Mannings. I think Drew has kind of quietly become one of the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history. Kind of gets lost in the shuffle amongst those other guys. You might be able to throw Aaron Rodgers in that as well. What makes Drew Brees so unique in your mind, Willie?
For this guy to be like 4 feet tall, for him to be able to complete like an 80-yard pass downfield, yeah. I don't know how he sees these guys. I think he just throw up a prayer, it seems like. But the ball happens to land where it's supposed to land it consistently on a consistent basis. But he's very intelligent. He makes all the necessary checks that he need to make it the line. He just has what it takes at this level to be the guy that he is.
I think he's got the perfect combination of the head coach with the quarterback, because Sean mm-hmm. Payton is a really aggressive offensive play caller, and he and Drew Brees have a really special connection where they spent the hours they do together as a team, but they spent a lot of personal hours together going over and submitting different game plans to each other and how to best attack their opponent. So I think that's the ultimate, because when you look at what they have going in Green Bay or what they have throughout different players' careers in the NFL, when you have that quarterback-head coach combination, it's a good combo.
I think since he came to New Orleans back in 2006, he is also the least sacked quarterback so far in the league. And how much does that have to do, obviously, with the offensive line, but kind of the pace and tempo of that offense that they have?
He's like a check down king. He gets his running backs on like a little quick short route. So when things, that route that he wants to go, if his hot route isn't there, then he's going to check that thing down. It may not be for about 2 or 3 yards, but it's definitely not a sack or a loss or a loss of down, basically, you know. So everything that he does is almost going forward, and it always works for him that way.
You got him in that playoff game, though, didn't you?
You know I did.
Yeah,
you
know I was looking that up.
Yeah.
2011? You got him. Who'd you work on? It wasn't Jermon, was it?
It was he was there. He was there, but it was Strafe.
Yeah,
Strafe.
How does Tom that offense work in sync and help protect him just because of the pace and tempo that they have?
You know, because he knows defenses so well, and the defense is kind of the defensive back portion of it is kind of specific of what you're going to do as you have the play called. And like Willie said, he's early to check down. He's really big with his tight end, and he's always had good outside receivers. But between the combination of the tight end and the running backs, he doesn't allow himself to be hit. And he's so intelligent about the scheme that he's very manipulative mm-hmm. at the line of scrimmage. So he's always in command. I don't think he can do anything defensively to fool him.
And he puts a lot of pressure on a defense as it is. Now that DJ Williams went on IR today, you already lost Lance and you don't have the veterans in that second line of defense. You know, Bostic and McClellan and Jones have great upside, but they're still really green. Mm-hmm. How important is for that guy, those guys, at least if they're going to make a mistake, to make it fast and do it without thinking too much? Because when you're thinking too much, I suppose that's two mistakes in one.
Well, I'll tell you what, I didn't even know DJ was on IR. Did he put him on the
day? Sorry to break that to you.
Yeah, that sucks. And we got three Pro Bowl caliber guys, you know, on IR right now, but it's tough. But, you know, to for those guys, it's going to be crucial. I mean, it's not a mistake here. It's going to be a tough game. It's going to be a tough game for us up front between the front eight. Like you say, those guys are still green right now. Are they athletes? Yes. Can they hit? Yes. That's not the issue right now, but it's going against a very experienced quarterback who's been around for a long time and knows exactly how to he knows every defense. He's seen every defense. So it's going to be crucial for us to do the best that we can in disguise and not show him, you know, try to give him different looks. You know, just switching it up on him is going to be crucial.
How dangerous is that going to be for Shea and John and Christian? You know, there have been issues reading keys, filling gaps, and especially going up against that quarterback.
You know, these guys are going to go through some growing pains, so you have to expect that out of them. And Drew Brees is going to try to get him out of position with play action or just some false pulling or movement up front. And that's what you have to do, is you have to understand there's a huddle call. And with that huddle call, you're only responsible for one thing. Do your assignment according to the huddle call and trust the other 10 guys to do that. And then things are going to work out for themselves. If you think it's up to Bostic to come and have 15 solos and 6 assists and Shea and Christian to you know, clean up everything else. That's unfair. It's about everybody contributing to the huddle call, and then you're going to get the results that you need for the, that specific play.
I think when we were in the locker room on Monday, Willie, I asked you about them also being 5-8. It probably doesn't supply any more solace, but you were kind of jealous that they may be 5-8, but you know they got it to play for in that NFC South.
Yeah. They're on top of the division, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes,
so that's. I tell you what, man, that must be nice to be playing where they're playing right now and be on top of that division because they have a lot at stake right now, a lot.
And Tom, I know you break down tape, come in here and look at them. Has it been primarily just the defensive side of the ball? Is that the reason that they are 5-8?
No, it's a little bit of everything. You know, Jimmy Graham, he hasn't been targeted very often in the mid portion of the season, and that affects everything Drew Brees does. But I do think that they've had some major mistakes on defense that they've been unable to overcome during the course of the game. And then I don't know if everybody's on the same page within the organization, if the offensive coordinator is seeing the same as the defensive coordinator, because when you go out there, you need complementary football. It's like this. It's saying everything is not on the shoulders of the defense. The offense, you know, Jay Cutler and the crew, they have to go out there and have time of possession that results in scores, that keeps Brees off the field, and then you have contributions from the special team. So, you know, there's a lot of similar scenarios in both teams.
Monday night Saints-Bears game is brought to you by Miller Lite, the official beer partner of the Chicago Bears. The first 40,000 fans 21 years of age and older to enter Soldier Field receive a Bears Miller Lite tailgate apron. Miller Lite, the original light pilsner. Time for another break. We'll get some final thoughts and observations here from Willie Young and Tom. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority from the Chicago Bears Network Studios at Halas Hall on 670 The Score. The Bears Coaches Show, brought to you by McDonald's, featuring Jeff Joniak and the Bears coaching staff, airs Monday nights at 6:30 p.m. on WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. As we welcome you back down the home stretch here, Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority from the Chicago Bears Network Studio. Again, our live studio audience from schools participating in the Fuel Up to Play 60 program, brought to you by the Midwest Dairy Council. Final moments here with Willie Young. And Willie, how has the energy and the psyche been in the locker room through this bit of a bumpy ride here ever since you guys were sitting there at 3-3 and really last got a good complimentary game with all three phases working together? We know one of the T-shirts handed out was no noise. How have you guys done in terms of trying to block that out and, you know, ignore any of the rumors or anything swirling about people's futures, coaches' futures, all that stuff?
You know, right now, you know, I'm kind of got it. You know, I refuse to get down on myself or allow anyone else to even get down, you know. And right now it's going to be crucial for us to stay together in that locker room as a team, as a family, because right now, you know, we got obviously you got all kind of opinions, you know, flaring right now. And right now, it's not so much about what's outside of the locker room. It's about what's inside the locker room, you know. And the only frowns I see right now are the frowns on guys' faces, you know, when you're getting in the cold to trying to bear with the cold, and maybe a broken fingernail or something like that. But other than that, that's the only frown that I see. Attitude has been pretty good right now.
What I like about this game is it's not a game that's hid at a 12 o'clock broadcast with three cameras, no one looking at it. This is a nationally televised game that everybody in the NFL is going to be watching. Some guys that are going to get an opportunity to play for the first time, some guys that are holding on for dear life, and some guys that have to take a big grow-up step in order to see where they fit in. Aren't you glad that this is a nationally televised game to put some of that add some of that pressure to the crew?
Oh yeah, I mean it all it does is it just builds confidence, you know, it builds character, it makes you a better player, you know. I know my first NFL game, I was so well not the first one just the start of my career, I was so worried about jumping offside, so worried about it. Like I'm like, man, if I jump offside, the whole world gonna know they gonna call my name out loud. You know, blah, blah, blah. And once I did that, once I jumped off sides and got it out the way, I was all good to go. I wasn't worried about, you know, being timid about getting off on the ball. So I really think that helped, you know.
Do you know this season who had the first false start going back to preseason?
No, I don't.
On that note, thanks to Bears defensive end Willie Young. Hey, he can laugh and smile about it.
I'm proud of you. I'm glad that you're always ready to jump off the line of scrimmage. That's what I want to see out of you. I don't hate you for it. I admire you for it.
Willie, thanks for doing this. Thanks to our audience here from Team Up to Play, Fuel Up to Play 60 and the American Dairy Council.